I'm sorry, the one that was listed as like the red line.
The orange tax is that's the administration version.
So which like who do you mean when you say administration?
That they came from the senior administration. So it's circulated with Vice President Zolino very often and like on them as the president of staff. Essence, because we're in a dual process because we are trying to reassess ourselves, they're looking at it because we're trying on other time timelines to look at it in parallel. They saw the draft that went out to this committee last week, both provided to them. Yesterday, Monday, they provided me this, the red line version, with their comments. That's also closed here. So the one that has the, and I now realize it sort of made it more clear to indicate which one is which. But the one that appears first in your packet, the one with the comments from me, MV1 and MV2, that is the version that we've been working on internally. The version after would be, I don't think it's before. The orange is text, that is from the administration. And for them, it's the same formatting was done by Joel Molina or electronically by Joel Molina. The running an introverted control, but it's going to have parallel processes.
Everything in yellow and black in your version is proposed last week.
Pardon?
Everything in yellow and black is the same as the version we had last week.
That's right.
In the version with your edits, everything in yellow and black was what you meant last week.
Yes.
The only changes are in
I meant to change the, you changed the word performance evaluation review, but that doesn't change it.
So otherwise, it's like,
yes.
The only concern that I have with the, besides the other concerns I've already addressed, is in the administrative, the administrative version, so I think I've already expressed my concerns previously, is the evaluation, where it says evaluation process should also include outreach to a reasonable number of complaints and respondents. I don't have a proper exception to ask a complaint to a respondent to give that'd be breaking federal law. So, and also, just even if it wasn't a law, I would be highly opposed to that. It's a very traumatic period for clients, whether it's like an alcohol citation of assault, just to go to the victims and then ask them to do a favor, like that's sort of the strongly opposed to that.
We had a general discussion on that. It's not all the parties federally, and it was recent for the office of event as well. But those are definitely factors that are maybe a policy on the central relationship between people in the story and those who are not. So that is not the fact that they've had a staff that is professional students as well as undergraduates who are any district authorities. We're debating that disclosure. But yesterday, discussed. Whether or not they need to just replace the code as opposed to policy. That discussion is ongoing, but I want to make sure that you're aware of this. Depending on how long the Senate meeting goes today, the UA will might have a resolution tomorrow to talk about it, or next week to talk about it in terms of the code of the policy. I'm happy to provide it in the context offline. It is relatively, this is an issue, so I just want to ensure that the committee is aware, and I'm happy to discuss further. Hearing none, the minutes are attached. If there are any edits, we can take care of those now. One of them is a relatively brief, and you can get a form of that meeting that was last week. So, but if there's any questions or concerns, let me know. We can take care of those now. Last week, I believe we did have one for the first part of the meeting.
So, you mentioned there are 7 members present.
That was for the meeting before, where we didn't have quorum at first, and then we did have quorum, and then last meeting, we didn't have quorum.
I was Rita told me she was traveling and couldn't make it. Risa was sick and couldn't make it. And Carlton told me he had to be a professor and couldn't make it. So that's why we didn't have 4 months. We had a robust agenda. But if no comments or questions in the minutes, we can't approve them, but we'll move forward with the agenda. The working group, as I told you all quiet at the beginning, the working group will have a meeting tomorrow at 3:30 in 231 Ives Hall. People free to attend. We've been working internally about, the number of suggestions in terms of either change the code, either the harassment provision, the preamble, create some new provisions, whether or not we want to look at enforcement guidance documents, as well as set the time the codes and transparency for reporting, transparency of actions, and sort of being tied very tight to the curve on that process. But there's an incident, an individual was apprehended as being, as he provided some form of all as much as legally permissible. And that is ongoing. There will be forums held this Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. in 142 Golden Smith. It's Golden Smith. The email you showed me copy on has it. I can verify if you'd like. It'll be one on Monday from 12 till 2 in the first floor of Space Sciences when you walk in. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but I'm going to guess. But I'm happy to provide that information. Again, there'll be a reminder going out probably tomorrow. And the working group will likely be meeting at least once or twice more, because our hope is for our very final meeting of the semester to have a relatively concrete set of proposals to us. That would be second week of May, that'd be 2 weeks from today. And that's where my boss raised up anything to add to that, but that's where we roughly are. Also, before I forget, we have 2 meetings left. If you have any special requests for food, such as anchovies or others, please let me know. I'd be happy to entertain them. Our last meeting, we're going to see what we do something special because it is the very, very end. I'm also make a little bit sense, so I might make something. Although I've been told I might need a waiver because that's a good safety. We'll figure that out. But either way, we might just do it. But if you have food requests, let me know. We've met very, very, very frequently this year. Last count, I think, were the last 4 or 5 years combined. We've met more frequently than this year alone. So I really appreciate the work. And if we can have something to celebrate the weekend, more than happy to help accommodate that. So let me know if you have requests. That being said, any comments on the work? Hearing none, we just talked about the JA changes roughly. If you want to talk about that, I'm sure Andrew Reese and Richard both have some questions on it. So I'm sure when they get here, we'll have more discussions. We can have some. We can talk about it briefly now. I know Michelle and Kendall noted the FERPA concern over the things proposed by the administration. And I will also say that we are meeting myself, Gabe, and then Jeremy Cruiser, alongside the approval of Elena, Michael, and Howard, two of the other members of the Executive Committee of the UA, meeting the administration on Friday to talk about where the CJC has been going, where their language is going, start trying to propose together. I informed the UA of our progress yesterday. Our hope is to, in our meeting next week, have a finalized where we're going. If necessary, we'll have to call a special meeting for that, because if we don't, we're going to end up falling back to the old provisions, which I think everyone can agree are not ideal. So, but that is ongoing, and we are moving at full steam. So, We're going to have a stuff on this once Richard is freezing here. We have one out. But if you have any comments at all, I hope you can do. Please email me, my phone number, call me or text me, or how just get a hold of me however method possible. This is an important issue, and we're watching for sure everyone is heard on it. There's no pressing comments on this. I'm going to ask you to skip it until Risa and Richard arrive. Hearing no comments, we're going to move forward. UHRB staffing. I want to thank Rena and Victoria for joining me this past weekend, and then so for email to go through our 27 UHRB applicants. We had a relatively, this year, to be fair, compared to last year, we had about a lower number of applicants than usual. This is, I believe, due to the fact the application went out later, it expired spring break during the SA elections busy season. So actually part of it, you kind of say that's also this is to ameliorate that. But we went through them, we ranked them. We are currently waiting on the decoder key to get that from the Office of the Assembly so that we can reach out to a number of individuals to follow up questions or to schedule an interview. When I went to do that, I'll be happy to read anyone's interested in. And we are moving forward. The UA yesterday formally requested that the fact that the information before be turned over to this committee as soon as possible. My hope is that'll be done post haste. I've reached out to the Office of Assemblies and respectfully considering our time deadline if we don't get it soon. It is not my ideal opportunity, but I will have to go for the administration to ensure we get that information because having a fully staffed board is crucial to the operation of our system. That being said, are there any comments? Actually, I have Michelle on speaker, please. So anyone else that Michelle?
Yeah, I have two. The first is a question. The decoder key, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Absolutely, no, and I just want to clarify. And 2 years ago, we used to review all the applications. We actually would create a formal subcommittee. We designated a formal chair to run that. It could generally be a portion of the committee. And they would get the application as they came in, no anonymization. It's the full application, here you go, it's in. We did that for a number of years, never had an issue. 2 years ago, the Office of the Assemblies respectfully unilaterally decided they should be anonymized, and then therefore we didn't see anonymized applications. On its face, and as I've said multiple times, the committee said since the beginning, that's not a bad idea. They should be anonymized the first round. The problem being, every year since then, we have had a fight with the Office of Assemblies to get the decoder of the essence to take the random number of your applicant number 24 and who you are, as well as access to their application, access to their resume, get access to that to us to be able to contact them, or otherwise operate. So in this case, we did our initial ranking fully anonymized. For context, what we did is we ranked them on a roughly 10-point scale. So there are a few people who we said, we think your application is strong enough, we have no problem recommending you seated. A very large portion of the middle that there are things that are good, things that are bad. We either want to follow up on specific questions, or we want to frankly just have members of the case that are talk. And those are the people we did contact information for. And then there are people who we just looked at it and say, for instance, someone said, oh, I'm not willing to undergo any training. So for context, those people are frankly excluded. Or someone is, so things like that, we rank them internally, and that list is there, and we're just going to need to get that information to move forward.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have a plan for the secretary to make sure that people are disproportionate. I mean, is there the process that those questions get sent to the Office of the Assemblies and they send them to the person so it keeps staying anonymized, or is that?
At this point, it's our priority how we plan to operate. In this case, we're going to be by the Dakota, so we can reach out directly to the Office of Assembly's role is to solicit the application, then it ceases, and then it becomes a shared governance matter. The Office of Assemblies is an arm of the administration, and the historic perspective of the committee has been it's inappropriate for them to be doing the actual back and forth communication because it is a community system, and that's why we will be operating for that. Cindy, what's going on that?
So just the point of clarification for me is that at the point of the subcommittee reaching out to these applicants, no selection determination has been made.
So what we've done is we've ranked them. Mm-hmm. So in essence, there are a couple that are frankly barring any issues will be recommended. Mm-hmm. And then the people in the middle who are in essence we identified a concern. For instance, someone had a question about how you interpret ambiguity. The question they provided a sentence answer. We think it's where we want to go, but as is to follow up and say, please expound more upon it. Very, very generic, but just trying to get more information, whether that be either through email clarification or there's one person we wanted to actually talk to because it's potentially going to misunderstand their application, but that's the process that we go under. So there's a ranking, and the people in the middle, assuming the clarification go goes well, you don't see a reason why they wouldn't be seated. Or, pardon me, nominated because the UA has to confirm them.
Does anybody ever see the rankings?
They're considered their internal because they're done an executive session, so it's an internal document. Any member of the committee, you want to see them, please let me know because you are full access. Who are your members of the committee that have full access? Any other comments or questions?
So I was included in a email from the administrative chair, actually.
Yes, Joel.
Yes. And so my understanding is that the UHRB amendment to allow people to have continuing terms hasn't been passed as part of our resolution package. So from what I was able to garner from his email, the current university hearing board members did not apply.
Yes, so I reached out to Joel today again, to Joel, and I could get my email from Joel, like, oh, which Joel is it? But in terms of what we've done, the code does not prohibit, and then he says, well, the code does not prohibit us from doing that, it just says the UA must confirm. So in this case, what we've done is Joel will be pulling the current board members. Actually, we ask them to continue, we'll get the names, we'll share them with the JCC, JA, and hearing board chairs themselves, see if any issues. Barring none, we post it publicly and then ask to confirm. That is the line that we propose. My understanding comes from the administration is that that is not problematic with the fact that they want it codified. We didn't prohibit it, but our goal is to align it with policy and procedure. And actually, I can tell you from one of the applications, someone did reapply because in the other comments, I've been serving for 20 years, please let me continue. To be fair, they were one of the better applications, so they would have received it anyway. That's also the coder can go through, okay, we apply because if our people who did very well are the ones who are on boards, that's going to take our balance and make potentially impact our ability to see.
Yeah, I think I maybe have a little bit of disagreement with so I see that they have to reapply for. I don't see anything besides them going through the process. And so if that means that the UA executive has to do appointments in the summer so that the board is actually fully formed the way that seems to be articulated by the code. I actually think that might be a stronger policy decision, but if the consensus of the community feels like there's no concern about not having people reapply, just have reappointment, even though there's not a reappointment process in the code. I do have a little bit of concerns, and I trust that the UA executive committee can fill the gaps and people who are willing to serve after Joel does his survey and things of that nature, but I just want to put my concern on that.
Yeah, I
as a committee member don't see a problem following the prior precedent of reappointments about reapplication that I'm reapplying. And I think the committee is concerned, which is why we are proposing the amendments that codify essentially language to stop us from being in violation of the code every single year. But I don't see why we should essentially punish those committee members now that we're trying to solve the problem by actually changing the code. When historically everybody's always been able to be reappointed.
I actually have the language from the example. I can pull it. But the current code, and I remember we checked this because you written this concern right before. Current code says the office members will solicit and the CJC will review applications. And in this case, we're reading in the gray, and it's not something I like. It's actually not even really like. This is something I've been looking at fixing for a while, and even with the addition of draft appendix A and clarification of the code to make sure it is crystal clear what we are doing, because it means this is a process important. If we don't do it right, it affects the integrity of the proceedings, and I think that is unfair to everyone involved if we don't do it right. But combined with our historical practice, the fact that the code is silent on this matter, and it helps as we're moving forward with it. After speaking to the executive committee, we are confident that the UA formally reconfirms it's not an issue. If having the UA executive committee provide them an additional temporary appointment or redoing it twice is something we need to do, I don't see a reason why we couldn't do that. If that's what necessary to provide the stamp of legitimacy, it's a small thing to do, and I think it's perfect.
I think just as a sense of why means that there's a continuum. But, I mean, again, that's my concern. So I just want someone to challenge the decision either way.
Of course, well, that would be the worst possible.
And by that reading, then you obviously assembly.
Or everyone for faculty, or not but a non-faculty. That being said, of course, it comes down to how you read the provision. It's not, you can stretch the language, defend the language. Either way, it's not ideal. But in this case, I think for the one last year, always get this the right administration information I've got. There's no concern with that fixing it. That's what we do anyways, and it seems to make sense. But for the moment, it is a gray area.
And that language also will be back to the U.S. Tuesday?
Next, not this coming Tuesday, but the day after.
Is the UA not meeting on Tuesday?
No, the UA clarity met yesterday. They added an extra meeting this coming Tuesday, and our final meeting is the second or the first Tuesday. There's a meeting next Tuesday and Tuesday after that. That's our final meeting.
Why would the UA not pass the change this Tuesday?
Maximum community input. After UA, okay. After Resolution 4, the president asked for maximum community input. So we did the office hours. And assuming that there's anything else on the UHRB, besides that, hearing none, I'm just going to go out of order and talk about the update that's previously passed code to prevent it. So, segues right into Dale's point. UA Resolution 4 was passed in the fall, contained a bevy of code amendments, some of which were present replied with comments, some of which present had no concerns about. They were sent back, though, primarily for a concern about lack of community engagement and notice. This is something we take very seriously, and after conversations with the administration, they were very clear to us that they don't want to prescribe a policy at which we must reach out, but that we should. And to partially do that, we've ensured that we held public office hours last Tuesday, last Thursday, and yesterday. We had a new dual attend, which was heartening. And actually had a question about the UHRB. And just to clarify, is this a new process? Explain to why we're doing this. He was also confused about the balance of the term, the language in there that, for instance, if it's a vacancy filled in either emergency by a full appointment at the next time, the language right now would apply to be a 2-year term running from 2 years from the time you were appointed. That would frankly be a logistical nightmare for us. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's now, it just gets the balance of the current term and you'll be, and also especially if we have a reappointment process, it's not burdensome to do that, but for logistical it is, to explain that to the individual. We did that. We have circulated a public comment box because the office system is a little bit hard to work with. Obviously, the assembly is by now to be opening up their formal system as well. And I personally briefed the graduate professional student assembly 2 meetings ago about it. I will be stopping by. One someone from this committee will be stopped by the student assembly tomorrow to run them through it either briefly or in more detail. Again, some of these versions are relatively dry, but to make sure people are aware. And I'm also looking at, we're talking about other ways to potentially increase further outreach. I know Gina has proposed that she may have an idea, which we're happy to take into account, because at the end of the day, yeah. We do not want these speeches to be sent back on the sole reason that we like them. We want more input and more engagement. And to also be clear, in conversations with the administration, they've also said that if people are not interested in commenting, it is not a problem, so long as they get the opportunity to do so, because these are practically some of the environmental measures we posed in a while. They're really housekeeping, but that is really where they are. They're on the UA's agenda, and they will move forward. And to Michelle, our discussion 2 weeks ago, they're on the agenda. Right now, it's in the, that's just what you see, or what the a document form to show what the changes are. The actual resolution that wraps up is currently being worked on to bring it up in the way in which the committee formally approved. People with the outside exceptionally busy, so we've been trying to make sure the show will be done by the next 3 meetings, so that the language, the whereas clause will be there, but it's the meat of the changes are out.
I know that we talked about doing an advertisement in the Daily Sun.
Yes.
Has that rolled back a lot? Because I think that's probably, I know that we're going to the assemblies, but I think we will get another way to reach out to the community to demonstrate that we're in good faith effort to solicit public comment. I think we talked about just like a quarter page ad just saying that the code of conduct is being amended to that we bought it.
So. I think it's excellent. We may discuss it. I will actually, I understand if we have budget for that, so I will make use of that. Again, another formal way to make sure that people are aware of comments or reach out to the cast. I will carry that forward because I think that is a good way to say that. Presumably, a lot of people read this on, and hopefully, that will be our advantage.
What happens to the public comments received?
So, the ones that are, we have two systems. We have one, which is an anonymous system, called freecomment.box.com or something like that. That is easier. You really can see versus fit immediately. That one, we have one comment through, it's a test comment, but they would be publicly provided. Those are anonymous. Anything provided through the office assembly website is attached to a name and a den ID, and that would also be, as soon as they're in there, you're reviewed by the assembly, and then the assembly can either, actually, isn't free to act as they can approve to respond to those comments, but they are public.
So, who has, like,
So, sorry, just jumped in your question. That anonymous site, is that like a UA site? Or
it's a third-party service. In essence, when we were looking for the working group, there was a goal to seek general comments just at writ large about the process. The office on this website, to my understanding, for asking, is not set up to do that. Therefore, they turned to a third, another option to circulate a link. And that's what they've been using. This, for essence, for this version, we wanted to be able to get it out as soon as possible, so we circulated that by link to one of those boxes as well. Our hope and our goal is to route the vast majority of people through the official site. But that being said, we don't want people to, considering we have respect for, unfortunately, had trouble with the office on the website getting up to date and being where we needed to be. The idea was you at least have some form of comment being accepted, because the president specifically mentioned the goal is to accept comments. And I'd like to really tell her to say that we did that immediately, and that once our system, the point of still running, that was also used. That would be me. I'm happy to share the administrative access to anyone who wants to make an audit. It's just the program. I mean, it's to my Cornell account, but there are two boxes. One is for the working group, one is for the students. So I'm happy to share that access to anyone like audit or look at it.
I think it might be just when we talk about transparency, it might be beneficial. Not that I just think it's easy to say that so many people have access to it versus one, just so we can verify that.
All right, no. Hearing none. Okay, this brings us to the 6.4 questions, which have, so that will be the, that'll be after the, I guess it's not the, like the orange line version about the packet. They're commented, or they're built based off the comments from our last meeting. Minutes ago, there were changes were made. We changed accused to respondent, which was noted. We attempted to make it so that there was less of a anti-administration bent towards the questioning, and we combined two questions, 5 and 6, or 5 in the original 6, which is only there obviously, and 6, and I want to say 6 and. Maybe it was 13, as questions were combined, and those are noted where they were. That means that we're open to any and all questions or suggestions. I'm also happy to report we now have a new deadline coordinator. So when she is more settled, she'll be getting a copy of these.
I think Rita raised a good point when we were reviewing the UHRB applications. I think it might be good on these applications as well to put like a word minimum or like a suggested word count.
Mm-hmm. That is an excellent point. Also, actually,
go ahead. So, what's the difference between question 4 and 13? Isn't 4 also getting at prostitution? 13 and
4? 4 and 13. They are similar. I guess to look at it.
I feel like it's also getting at procedural things, right? Four.
We can combine them as one is meant to be hypothetical, which we did draw from. Actually, I went through 6.4 to pull an actual full date to see that actually exists in the policy. Or is it exactly close to this change? So, also, I will also disclose this committee. How are you?
Hey.
You're happy that we have actually pizza this week. So, if you'd like it.
How do you that helpful?
Kendall had asked a couple weeks ago about these options to remove a 6.4 hearing for a panel member when they're seated. I asked the office, my office, the Title IX office, 2 weeks ago. Thinking back, and I followed up, and I received email yesterday that they are actually researching, but they don't know. So, which is, I mean, at this point, it may be a gap in the policy, which is to identify. But, I mean, they said they're Apple's transitioning out of university and on maternity leave, so the two associates.
Kareem,
are doing it, so Kareem replied to the end of it. But attempting to determine how it's done. Which was, we would assume that A, it has not been done in the past, and or you can make that.
Back to
me then. I will. And I'll have to have the committee informed because we are saying, well, 6.4 and happy to provide. And to be blunt, I mean, to be perfectly fair, 6.4 internal analysis, when I've asked them, they're generally very responsive and happy to work with us. Even when we talk about these questions in the fall, they even said, oh, if you have suggestions or a way to rewrite them, please let us know, because they are very busy. Richard, welcome. We have an answer to pizza for you.
And broccoli.
Not broccoli. You have to do it anyway. But since that's where we are, so I will note that we should add a word minimum to the question, if that makes sense.
And I think a max too, if you're adding the
minimum. That makes sense.
Any question?
Questions four. Basically, are the thoughts about 4 and 13? 4 is a hypothetical based question. 13 is a general question. So historically, we can merge them, but they are really going after roughly the same idea. Also, the part we have 4 now.
Question 3 is more than an and. I think it's just the and.
I agree with that. What you said?
Yes. Before the word individual. And then we're positive check that one.
Hi, David. Thank you.
And then I asked Victoria, you were both uncertain. Question 5, is that word affect instead of defect? But I'm not sure.
I appreciate this. It would be affect.
I'm not a grammar wizard.
I'm not a grammar wizard either. I will try to clarify affect. Question 5, it's how do you believe the biases or room bias affect or affect the effect?
This is affect. Affect. You should go with nouns.
It's affect, okay.
Yeah. All right, great. How many people are saying it? I love that we're all like,
I love it.
So the question, the session we were looking at, Richard, thanks for joining us. I hope the fact that that meeting was not what I like to say. Look at any faces they're telling me I might not have, but questions, we're testing whether our questions 4 and 13 ought to be combined. They're both talking about policy and procedure flaws. Question 4 is a, trying to hypothetical, whereas 13 is a more general question. And the current question is, will they emerge? If so, or could they emerge?
I
can't
really see it really funny, though.
Okay.
That's my opinion, but I'm one person.
Based on what we were reading from the NQHRB application, you guys, I think it might be helpful to have a hypo, because if you just say like, how do you feel about the code, like ambiguous or policies that are being followed, then people might not really answer the question.
I feel like the hypothetical that was like, that's just not how this put forward. You like submit stuff in steps ahead of time.
So, you can lose your word for another. I mean, we can think of another hypothetical. It was trying to base off deadlines that are in 6.4.
Yeah.
But, that being said.
That's not like.
Other comments or questions?
I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of like answer we want from that question. We want sort of just like a general policy of like how they feel about procedures not being followed, that could be useful. But if we're looking for like a specific answer based on a specific set of circumstances, the hypo is useful. So I think maybe if we rewrote 13, we could use the hypo.
Okay.
Like maybe like, for example, if the notification like periods were not being followed,
okay.
Maybe just like to give a clarification on like what procedures not being followed is.
Okay. Are there any comments on that in terms of striking for and integrating some, I think, like an example of what an instance Okay, any other comments or questions on these questions? In terms of next steps, assuming all the rules change, our next meeting, we can then either they were satisfied they approved the changes, at which time what we could do is we could bring it as a resolution, or we could also just send it to the deadline office as friendly. We are empowered to send documents ourselves. So we could draft a small rationale and say, based on X, Y, and Z, we have done this. We appreciate your comments and feedback, and we would be a better set of questions to utilize for the process and send that to the initial step. If it works for itself, we would follow up with resolution as well. Yeah.
I think the problem with six, I feel like it's 6A especially. It seems like you're asking the applicant. I'm not actually sure. The list of a lot of topics, but basically saying, explain how you feel about different cases. I feel like it should be broken up or focus on maybe one or two of those categories.
Absolutely. That's a pretty good thing. That they create the same portion, but you can certainly route.
Do you have any personal opinions about student use of drugs and alcohol, gender role, gender identity, sexual orientation, or sexual minority, portion of passion, decision? It's solely upon evidence.
You could reverse it. You could say that could you be impartial, dispassionate, and make decisions based solely on the evidence presented in cases involving, and that would be much more direct rather than the.
Do you have personal opinions about any of these topics?
Well, you can. Everybody has personal opinions.
Right.
But I found the introduction to that question really odd. If you don't, you're something.
I mean, if you read this question, it appears to be almost like our training question. You answer, yes, I can't be impartial to fashion, and it's thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Almost like the UAV candidate who said, I'm not looking up for training. It's thank you very much. And obviously, no one can give the application, but we're going to say thank you with them. So I can simplify that. Look at great. That's how they were here. Okay, I will simplify that. Look. Anything else on the UHRB part of it? Points of our questions. In terms of the procedural next steps, would you like to send this as a almost like an internal resolution or internal document to 6.4 directly to the committee? And then depending on how they respond, if necessary, follow up with their phone call around, follow up the resolution in the fall. Or we can bring it as a formal UA resolution, saying if you want X and formal UA response, they were right for the suggestion.
If they've been receptive to like asking for suggestions, I think the more informal, the easier.
That was my take, but I wanted to be sure where those are options that you have. So it sounds, is there any sense to doing it in a slightly more informal way, barring a process reception? Okay, then we will, next week when we actually finalize this, we will then be looking forward. No, if you do before, I'm going to ask you to go back to the approval of our minutes. So we have April 11th and April 18th. Are there any comments, questions, or concerns regarding those either of those sets? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor regarding those minutes?
Move to approve.
The motion to approve both sets?
Yep.
Second. Any dissent? Any dissent to approve the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes of April 11th and 18th are. So to briefly bring back to Steve, Richard, and Risa, I gave a brief, very brief update of where the working group was in terms of meeting tomorrow, for and the like. I don't think you need to add, so okay. But if there's any questions about the working group, please feel free to talk to me or Risa. Hopefully Risa's voice is not going to go again. Mm-hmm. Or Carlton, thank you for that. Carlton is not present, but. And okay, JA reappointment, yes, this is the letter reading the proverbial road. And there are two versions in your packets for Richard Reed. The first version, which is the red, or the first version that has comments that are comments MB1 and MB2, that is what we discussed last week with our changes integrated. The next version after that which is kind of like an orange lining, that is a copy that was sent back to the administration. The administration, in this case, being Joel Molina, Mary Opperman, as well as Kelly Cunningham, our staff, and Joel, the vice president of Congress Relations, and Mary HR. Quite clearly, the language that was discussed last year present to this committee, as well as the administration, because we're working, trying to work together with them. So that's why we have two separate versions. And I'm happy that we had a brief discussion. Michelle and Kendall have noted that the administration version appears to have concerns with FERPA in terms of asking for complaints and respondents to participate in the evaluation, which we will also be meeting myself, Dave, and then Jerry Cruz, the vice chair of operations at the university, send our meeting to Friday to talk about how we're doing with this so we can move forward. But we will bring that any other comments or questions? Based on the last week we discussed was ensuring that there was a concern last week about the UA, essence, for lack of a better word, mashing the button of removal too frequently as one or two members who are have made this sticking point to motion every single meeting to remove the JA and get second to do it. I think after consulting Robert's rules for a number of other reasons, I have this very wonderful version about motions that are solely disruptive, solely distance. Futile, and then those are the charity assembly are free to ignore those. And that's some difference. If it's been made seconded and failed miserably or failed miserably relatively recently, chair is in their discretion to decline the motion. And also, you know, the point where if they're continually being done, the members should be disciplined and or expelled to get them living from there, providing disruptive rather than constructive. Additionally, last week, there we discussed whether or not to move to an annual or a biannual. So in essence, the version that we had was a more stringent process. The administration's version was a little more streamlined process than it would be annually or biannual. But that's really where the discussion was heading. I guess the big version, the big change among all is moving from a set term to a indefinite term. And it wouldn't necessarily, employment will in the same sense that the rest of the university staff would be, and that the code would provide the protection that the university assembly has to be the initiator of the removal. So there is a protection, there's an inbuilt protection there. In essence, there would not be a set contract that there would be elsewhere. Also, during the president or the administration's language, also makes a slight tweak to the regular JA search process. In this case, the big one is that it takes the composition. Instead of being six members, it takes it to seven members. Pardon me. So right now the current balance is four and two. UA four, administration two, which would make it four and three. UA four, administration three. I said go back to the company, I don't know why. However, I want to be aware of that.
I think, I don't necessarily have a problem with the other version. Maybe you're talking about the community to move on. The board sheet has extreme oversight. It does provide more detail than the rest of the staff. That can be from that.
An emergency meeting, how would the UA pass
it? So the UA, in essence, the UA's been briefed on it. They were talking, I talked about it, not yesterday, the meeting prior to the UA, kind of like yesterday, so we're talking about it again Tuesday. So in essence, and then, and I hope this has some form of these rough draft language for where we are on Tuesday. The reason I didn't provide them yesterday is because right now we really have two versions. Mm-hmm. Once we create a general, at least a rough integration, I'm sure the UA is aware of it. And once we have a final version, the UA will have it for its final meeting.
And what if we don't pass it?
The resolution that UA passed states that if it's not done by the last meeting in May, or the last committee meeting in May, because UA also has a version. It will, the UA will, as we're going to follow the version of the code as written. That being said, the UA is within its authority to reconsider that and amend that if necessary. For instance, if we needed to extend to June or some other time. That being said, the code prints in October, meaning that we really are on the clock, so to speak. I think we will be able to get something. That being said, there's a lot to discuss. And if there's like questions, concerns, please let us know as soon as possible. So we can. Do we have to
pass this? We don't have to pass
something.
If we wanted to be on the UA agenda.
It's on the UA agenda. It's already on the UA agenda. In order for it to advance, it has to pass. If it's not passed next Wednesday, we will call through. I would like to call an emergency meeting for Thursday. And if necessary, we'll move that meeting back when we go mail them. However, that's why Thomas' questions please us as soon as possible. Our goal is, even though we work these, work in inclusively and make sure all the federal concerns are addressed. I personally can do the best of our concerns, one that Ben's bring up, it's quite clear. So I will speak to the administration about how we should proceed. I see where they're going with it and determine if there's a way to perhaps meet somewhere that is not running right up against FERPA and or just good taste in terms of dealing with. And I can also imagine there was a discussion formally that was, oh, you don't have to solicit them, but when the process is all over, there's something that is really rough. Like, I'll rate this process. It's a way to provide feedback after the process concludes, so we're not reaching out afterwards, like, oh, this happened. Knowing that it'd be more visceral, but to have some way to try and integrate it so it's not quite so jarring. Again, that's something we'd love to explore in terms of may not be too tough to go over.
Yeah, we do have some of that data that we collect some of our educational and decision making and stuff like that. But as a kind of alternative, there's another situation to seek out. It might make sense to have the hearing board chairs provide feedback. If there's another data type of constituency that's that would provide an idea. So.
I'm trying to kind of compare back and forth the language from the comes from this committee as opposed to the president. So am I reading this correctly that in terms of removal that the president's office's recommendation as an initiation process by the president that doesn't exist in the CJC version. So that's section 5.
B?
Oh, it's so hard to read this.
Is it 5B?
5B in the president's name. Is that, that makes a difference to what we think?
Yeah, that, that is an expansion. That is an expanding. That is an expansion. Your provision is that current code currently reads the JMA only be removed by the board upon recommendation of the UA. Mm-hmm. Again, in theory, the administrative president really urgent could go around us and go directly to the board and ask the board to suspend the code and do it anyways. However, that is an expansion of the president's authority insofar as right now, the president, without going around the code, doesn't have the authority to ask the JMA to be removed. However, there is the flip side is there's an implicit check in that they have to reappoint the JMA every 2 years. So that would be some way for the president to administratively veto by them and saying we're not going to offer reappointment.
And does this, whenever I see something where you add something that the president can do, I want to make sure we're good with that. I mean, this has some, there's some rational basis for this in terms of like the same with the president's office, like the point that's happening. They can just try to go around, this is that it's a piece of paper. There's a transparency here. And then it has to go to the UA for majority vote. And if the president still doesn't like it, then the president can go to the, like if the university assembly says, no, we don't want to follow, we don't want to remove the JA, then the president can still go to the board. But it makes the president go through this process, and that way,
yes, that's what it's really. And that was also, I don't know who the original shopped around to. In our internal assessments, I don't know who they shopped it around to when they were editing this, but internally, or as we discussed this 2 weeks ago, they had this off edits that was correctly planned that they were thinking of as to remove the president. That second portion was not what we had discussed previously. The only provision was the UA have removal authority, and that necessarily the president would be able to take as an exchange for the term the president can take a hands-off approach. So this is based on my interpretation of the regulation, based on what I interpreted, we discussed 2 weeks ago on Monday, that provision, the second part of this, is not something that the UA and myself have previously discussed. That is seems to be a new proposal that they are moving forward. B, yes, B is correct. Yes.
And is there a problem with this? I'd love to hear that about that.
I have Richard and Michelle.
Michelle was first. Michelle.
I actually think that provision is a nice one. One, because I think it requires the president to come back to the UA. But more importantly, I think that one of the parts that we don't think about the role of the JA is the internal management of the office. And so there's some, you can foresee in the future some issue that might not be public, but it's publicly available with or privately available by HR operations. And so this is a way for someone to be like, learn this information through an employee, I'm recommending that. And so you're saving the privacy of those. And so I actually think that's as Matthew mentioned, under the current system, the president cannot recommend reappointment. And so you actually technically have no say in whether or not somebody gets reappointed. Unless there's a self-promotion for, which really I don't think there's a provision for that. So I actually think that's a nice compromise. And I think it's a good check on the from an HR policy.
That was my feeling too. So I like it. I rarely like it. maybe it's the edge. But Michelle, I have another question. I mean, what do you think of the whole thing?
I think it's closer. I think the administrator's version settles some of the concerns that we were trying to wrestle with drafting last week. I like that the public component is a little bit more private, where it talks about the feedback should be conveyed privately to the chair of the university assembly and the president's designee. And so I think my concern with the first draft was that there was like almost this public flogging And as we mentioned before, there's the way that we're administratively structured, there's no advocate for the JA. And so I think if there's a need to address issues from a public opponent, it should be coming jointly from the Office of the President and the Assembly. But I think this administrative way does it a little bit more of a private way, in a way to say, look, here's the part that I couldn't share with the public as to why this decision was made. I think that there would be an educational need to know exception under FERPA to disclose that to a university official, such as the president's designee, and a UA official as a president's designee. But I think it would be stretching any exception under privacy laws to use it in a public forum with multiple people not in their university capacity. So I think this solves a lot of the concerns that I raised last week.
Is there anything you would change?
There's a lot of things that I would change, but part of shared governance is compromise, right? And being able to take that. And so, I mean, this is really the purview of the UA, and that's a very important part that's delegated to the trustee, or delegated to the trustee. But I think it's one of them.
Good. Understand the situation. We have a proposal from the president.
If we that are based on the language we propose that are not meant to be.
It's the president's text. So
administration's text.
Because the administration's text, if we don't change it, then it can go straight to the UA, and then it can go straight to the administration. Is that right?
However,
my feeling is that's what we should do. Send it. Send it to the UA, send it to the administration, and we've done it. If we're close to that, that's what we should do.
There's one thing that kind of didn't change that we suggested in the final edit you had, the administration action. It didn't change anything. Really, that's the other one that had more language in 5A that more language clarifying that this word that leads to the final setting.
Yeah. Personally, I think some of it is a little bit
But we did discuss, and I think we all kind of agreed at the end of last week's meeting that we did want some mechanism, even though you're saying Robert's rules would prevent that frivolous motion. I think we did discuss having some mechanism for how this removal will be proposed to at large, and I think we all ended up wanting a two-thirds vote rather than a majority vote. So is that still the intention when you and the chair of the UA sit down to discuss these changes? It will be a two-thirds vote?
I mean, it's definitely talk about Dave. The intent is to go in and look at it. The administration's argument was by having them additional checks, it's not quite the vote hurdle is not quite as crucial. That means that I think it's important enough that we also want to be responsible how we see this. I would, because especially if the UA were to vote 11 or 13 or 12 to something, as it were to be short of, and frankly, it was 9 votes. To me, that's already a very large problem. But if it comes down to a public vote, as is a no confidence, and you're getting a significant majority, including a constituency, to say, hey, this is, we were very much concerned.
that alone is a worst case scenario. It means that somebody from the UA exec didn't sit down with the president ahead of time and say, hey, here's those concerns, we need to address this. But I'm not sure. I mean, in essence, the administration has asked to meet again to talk about their rationale. So without knowing that this is a public meeting, as a discussion, the administration could see the discussion on the issues entering a concession. But I think we want for a third round to say, and then we can see how we're going to react.
Just in my view, they haven't actually functionally added any additional text. They just clarified the reality that a UA vote isn't a direct termination.
Yeah, so I have a couple things. One is I don't care for the encroachment in terms of the increase of presidential appointments to the search committee. Because, you know, so it's going to show you the change proposed is from two members of the administration or the presidential appointment. Three, leaving in place four.
Yes.
And I mean, my sense experience is that when the administration puts people on, they tend to dominate the power. So I don't think that really it's just that was just one more. I think it's actually substantively more than like the qualitative, it's not just quantitative.
In our discussion was 2 weeks ago, the administration actually asked, they said they were actually hoping to shrink everything, and this provision, so if they felt smaller is better than this provision. Again, I don't know what they were grabbing.
Helping shrink it. And the other, another question, I then just put more out there, another thing. I thought you said something about what the administration, the president's proposed language was to move from an annual review to something else, or did I just mishear you?
The original draft was an annual review. Mm-hmm. We were considering how in-depth it should be. There was a discussion last week that it's going to be exceptionally in-depth. Mm-hmm. You do it every 2 years, actually, with a more streamlined review annually. Mm-hmm. The president's language groups have a slightly more streamlined review annually.
Yeah, okay. And the other thing, in looking at what the president's office took out was, you know, anything in terms of to remove the JA for not having money. Issues identified, right? And I think that part of that is the general approach by the administration not to have just cause in anything when they're converted. And so, I mean, I think if this is the best that it's going to be, that at least a positive aspect of this is that there's at least an implied version of just cause. I think, you know, rev up this machinery to remove somebody, and you're going to have all these votes that. You know, you'd like to have some reasons given that are supported. Now, I would contrast that with the lack of reasons given for things like and when we ask what's the reason, we said, why was there no rationale? It's like, we didn't want a rationale. So it's not as if, you know, that never happened. So, you know, I always worry when but if people think this is strong enough to actually apply that card, then, you know, I think it might be a problem. But I'd like to hear it.
So I believe my experience is Michelle and Edward.
No, I was extending the meeting for half hour.
You're
going to notice that. Because they have pizza. Come on.
Although, no game then. Appreciate those are staying for extending for half hour.
I think Reese is right about the number of people in the committee. One thing we noted last time was an even number. So to get a majority, it had to be 4-2. Now it's 4-3. That's for a positive action, but it means that 3-3 doesn't stop action. So that's just an observation. I really want to get this done. I doubt the administration is going to give on that. We could, but here's a suggestion. I mean, when we had little things like that. And so Matt, you're going to do this bargaining with us?
Bargaining is the way to phrase it. I mean, it's going to be a discussion.
You're going to have a discussion. Yeah, and a substantive discussion on this. So if you had that substantive discussion and you said, well, I'm gonna know we really like this to be two, and we really
wouldn't be changing. Would you say we don't want to change this?
Yeah, we don't want to change that. And we could also do that thing with the annual and biannual. But I was thinking of just bullet kinds of things you bring up in your discussion. And if they say, no, can't do that, then you just say, okay, maybe uncomfortable saying that.
I mean, I'm perfectly happy. I mean, in terms of noting that if I had to take a guess, the administration is going to listen to this audio recording prior to Friday, so it's posted.
Well, can you delay that? No, sorry.
just to note for the record that we are in open session, they aren't, and we are discussing some tactics. Just to note that those who are there are present by the address is offline. Myself and Gabe have discussed also how we're going to approach this offline if everything's filling within, not on the record. In terms of, though, I mean, I think there's a certain point where it is a reasonable proposal, even a lot of stuff, even a lot of language here. When we met 2 weeks ago, the administration had a number of reasonable proposals, and we said, that's reasonable. That being said, if something is objectively not reasonable, I personally am not comfortable with this. They say, we want X, and we, myself and Gabe, don't believe it's reasonable. I personally am not comfortable with this. Just capitulating, it's truly not reasonable. I don't think it's a good thing to do. What I will do is I'll bring back to the committee, and the committee is free to vote on this. And since a proposal will come through, this language has to be approved by the committee, full stop. If I don't think it's good, I will inform the administration and we'll discuss it. If they are resolute, this is what they wish to propose, I will bring it forward. I will very likely say that it is not. And if one of the UA, I may not speak, and this is what I would do, they may ask another member of the UA to address that, so I may speak my mind on it. But if something is objectively bad, with all respect, I am not, unless the committee explicitly instructs me to vote, I am not comfortable just telling the administration, okay.
So bad, speak your mind.
Pardon?
Speak your mind. What do you think of this?
I think it is a refinement of some of the language that I had drafted. I think there are some good portions. I think there are some bad portions. I personally am puzzled that that the administration, the representatives had said, oh, we want to work. They think maybe the Security Search Committee is too large, and then they proposed to increase the size further. Again, I think Teresa's point, historically, a 4-2 committee has worked absolutely fine because, with all respect, it would be someone from HR, someone from the president's office, and the administrative support in the back end of it is already all run by the president's office because we don't have the resources to run search, which already gives them a lot of back end authority. In fact, when we did this 2 years ago with Michelle, Ryan Lombardi was, I sat down with a company with Beth Garrett at the time, because the UA's charter actually consists of code. But that charter used to be only have one member on the search committee. That was Beth and I very quickly agreed. But she said, oh, she's interested in that. I flat out told her, no, he was going to follow the code because the code's in the secret charter. We mentioned our charter. However, the procedure worked well. The one sticking point that came up 2 years ago was that Beth, in essence, decided she wanted to appoint Brian Lombardi, the chair of the committee. Version of this code doesn't contemplate who a chair would be. That, in terms of the way some things were operated, some things can't be fully presented. The way some things came up, if there were some concerns that were raised. Because the code is in conflict chair, and again, with some of the candidates and the way it's handled, I personally had some concerns. They didn't come to pass, or they were resolved, I should say. But that provision, I think, to me is intriguing. I'd like to see why. In terms of the way a lot of the review is going, I think by and large, it's a requirement will be a proposal that we discussed last week, and I think a good portion of it, frankly, will be able to go through. For instance, be integrated into an integrated draft. I think some changes that need to be made, and I may not have all details from that, but it's not going to help, let's say most of them. But I think, again, it's not bad. Especially in terms of talking about, oh, before following private comment, I mean, that's really, some of them really is just a refinement of what we proposed. The removal process is, I mean, there's a certain point in that, A, as before, there is superfluous language in terms of the authority of the Board of Trustees. I don't think we need to say every time that they are the supreme governing body. That is the code A explicitly covers. That is an easy fix. In terms of the actual substance, I think there are some provisions that we should look at closely, and I'm going to talk to Gabe about trying to figure out where that lines up, ensuring that recognizing that the administration has a very strong interest in ensuring that the GA is doing a good job, and so does the UA, and trying to balance that in such a way in that if it comes up, the UA can say, thank you very much for your service. By that being said, and then lastly, the reasoning provisions, to me, they should never be too onerous that they never be enforced, but they should be enough that they could be, in essence, you don't want it to be so high of ours that they're clear it, but you also don't want it so easy for people to frame that. We can say, oh, Michelle, what's your professor? I don't like the color of your shirt today. Goodbye, proverbially. And that, because in essence, what has happened in the past with the issues, you were able to go to the administration and say, okay, reappointment's coming up. I'm concerned about this, and therefore, da 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 da. And obviously, or perhaps you may go against your appointment. And then the administration would say, okay, these are concerns, go out and verify, and then if necessary, action be taken behind the scenes. To me, a public vote is the absolute worst case scenario. It shows that something has broken down before, where the assembly is saying, we are so disappointed with the third J, we're going to publicly say, we don't want you, we're going to poll you. And frankly, even if the board, even if the board were to poll rule us, I still think that's a very, very strong message, frankly, because of the constitutional crisis. Because I can see green boards actually starting to go, like, wait a minute, this J doesn't have legitimacy. It causes ripples across the process that I can avoid. But I'm rambling. So, in short, the process needs to be robust enough that if the real position can do it, but also high enough bar that it encourages, it pushes us to discuss things privately, address things privately, prior to going verbally. Can you answer your question?
I still have a question for Michelle.
Yeah, so I think kind of, and maybe this is where Richard's going, is there anything that you're going to bring up in this meeting on Friday that we haven't discussed here? So I feel like some of the things that y'all were talking about that Dale had brought up was that we had agreed to some things in this setting and then that got changed after. So is there anything, and I know you don't have lots in front of you, so it's kind of hard to rationalize, but is there anything that you think that you're bringing to the meeting that we haven't talked about in the group that's supposed to be charged with them?
Nothing. I mean, comment on the fact that I don't know, I don't have a list. Nothing that jumps out at me. Anything that's really, truly major, I leave my flags for everyone. Including the increase in size and changes. That being said, I will go through it. I mean, in reality, I don't know which direction the discussion will go. The discussions, our last one was very amicable and very, we made a lot of progress. There are reasonable proposals being brought on both sides. We need to start going through it, find an agreement on where we're going. Language is the hard part. I don't think there's anything exceptional that I haven't flagged. I can't be certain. I mean, in advance of the meeting, I will be sitting down going through a line by line to make absolutely sure that it's something that I'm missing, but at this time I don't. Sure.
So as I understand it, the UA's last meeting is next Tuesday?
No. The meeting next is coming Tuesday and Tuesday after.
So there are two more meetings.
That's correct. And UA could add extra meetings too.
So we could meet on a week from today on this and still get it to the UA. I still think we're close, Matt. We should get this done. I mean, it sounds like we're really close, and you can bring up those concerns, maybe one line or something. I mean, that's my feeling. I want to urge us to get it done.
Absolutely, and I should just say, I am always my personal point of view on that. I've always believed that it's. And everyone that's in person work together, the administration and the community. I know there are members of shared governance who think that sheer active working administration administers shared governance. I think precisely the opposite. I think working together is how we get the most done, how we make the most positive impact. So, I mean, I said, my goal is if it's a reasonable proposal and it does, and it maintains the core goals of this process and the role of the assembly, I have no problem giving around the edges and frankly taking language to borrow it as needed. But as the kind of it, it's something that I truly believe is going to be. Again, at the time we'll state that, we'll argue against it, and I will bring it to this committee and ensure that it is aware. I don't foresee that, but again, it's a full disclosure. I will not sign up to that. I personally think it's not the best interest of the community for this committee.
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree. This is pretty good. The one question I have is the computer by something you said about the chair of the search committee.
Yes.
There's nothing in here about that. And I'm aware that you said that because I missed it. And the chair of any committee, obviously, makes a difference. So
So we need to have something.
What had been discussed previously, and it didn't make this language, but I know we had discussion. Maybe it was after Ryan's points, because we were a little taken aback when it happened. Is that A, the administration has already provided, frankly, a national search is beyond our resources. That being said, the concern would be, as the president did unilaterally, so was it, there's language, oh, there should be a search, there should be a chair of the committee, usually agreed upon by, both parties agree on a chair, or the president nominates and we approve, and that's to try and have some form of a check, knowing that you can't have, you do need to have a chair, but there should be some agreement. Because to me, as much as I advocate for students in their own process, I would not personally put an undergrad in charge of this under the right circumstances. That being said, if you were appointing a faculty member or someone of your stature or someone of your experience level, I have a problem making the chair. But at a certain point, you certainly don't want to give it over to your board. And some of the best practices are going to do it. So there's a discussion about how we ensure that there is a chair that is qualified and good, but also not handed. Language definitely not going to happen. But if it can't have a chair, it can't have a chair.
Oh, they look at the chair of the committee.
Well, I think we should have the four people chosen by the UA, two chosen by the administration, and then have the administration get to appoint the chair with the committee with UA's approval. So that it is 4 and 3, but yeah, 4 and 2 voting members.
I mean, in terms of the way the committee operated last cycle, what the UA did, and to be fair, I was chair for this, my urging, what we did is we asked the four seats to split them on the four constituencies. We had, and that didn't work perfectly, but we had year, but we put ACC, you put chair of CDC, you don't have an employee, and then you put an undergrad, and then a faculty member with Marty, undergrad. I know Marty's done it, and so was Ola. But anyways, we went through that process, and then we went through it. And when I was told talking afterwards, in my assessment, the committee count was not a problem. In terms of the sport, those 6 people, again, if it shouldn't really consider expanding the committee, I think the size is now an issue. But to me, this is what the administration appointed. Ryan is the president's appointee, and I want to say Stephanie Sackler is the assistant appointee for council office. I can't remember exactly. I'm sorry, the president was the council office. And the process went great. I'm really happy to have language about the chairs that they appointed mutually agreeable, which I know we talked about. Now after the done, about it. I have to dig that out before keeping it right, relatively simple. But the current balance, and to be fair, we're speaking of the committee, the administration, in terms of controlling the resources, having some of our council's office, and having a senior VP in that committee already puts them, even though the minority seats, harder they put them in the driver's seat, bring them up, they're the ones running the search.
So I wouldn't be okay if it's 4 and 3 plus an additional chair.
I mean, this what it was previously was it 4 and 2, and then President Brian Lombardi is one.
That I'm saying, okay.
I think that's what Reese was, in essence, proposing. Keep the 6-person committee, and then there will be a chair who's mutually agreed upon by the assembly and the office of the president. Whether that be a faculty member, someone from the administration, or however that winds up, there's some president that there's a discussion that goes on.
It's 1 and 6.
Correct. Yes. Everyone's clear on that.
I think negotiating was a good.
We can enter into that if we need to.
That's all right. I'm saying, yeah, never mind.
You could act also, we also have authority to pause and start to take stop. Anything else on this? After Friday, once we have some more clarity, we'll engage over when we get these things together. And then hopefully have things circulated. I don't want to give a precise timeline because I know everyone is very busy, but we are also on crunch, since where we are. Is there anything else on the GA process? Go ahead. I talked a lot, we talked a lot about it. Hearing none, we're going to move forward. And that means the next thing on our agenda is, UHRB staffing again. Richard and Risa. Richard, you know this. Yesterday, the UA, we've been having trouble getting the de-anonymization key for our applications. Long story short, 3 years ago, the office assembly decided on their own volition that our UHRB applications should be anonymized. In principle, for the first round, I think that's actually probably a good thing. However, every year since, we've had to fight them. I use that word regularly as an advice to get access to the key, in essence, that the applicant has forward is John Doe. And we've got to fight every single year. Last year, frankly, it came into the brink of us not getting a slate for the UA. This year, us not doing that, frankly, has caused a delay. The UA didn't get it yesterday. The UA formally requested the person with its charter that we get the key yesterday. I hope we get it soon. Myself, Victoria, and Rena, and the subcommittee met over the weekend to rank 27 applicants. So there are three groups, those who think are being seated immediately, those who want to follow up with questions or an interview because there are some concerns, and then those who we just flat out are not going to see. For instance, someone who said they're not going to go training. So, yes, that's where we are. And moving forward, once we get that information, we will have to hopefully get that underway. I think we said something, but I think I've got it all. Any questions on that? Hearing none. We actually walked in during the 6.4 hearing questions. I think we settled those. Great, no comments. Next up is, it's prior practice for the UHRB staffing. That's why I asked the class, because I put them together. But the draft appendix A in here is the red line is the things that we've heard. Set a packet. Yes. In essence, we didn't get to it. Based off 2 weeks ago, I incorporated edits. We didn't get to it 2 weeks ago. We didn't get to it last week at all. Therefore, there's other edits that are put in the red line. So red line is something that has not been discussed based on this committee at all. It is all meant, I took the comments that were given to Montreal and others and incorporated them. But I tried to simplify a lot of the dates and also attempted to add some clarity though we didn't compare the two issues that are two things that had come up previously.
Thank you for clarifying the dates. Reads easier.
Absolutely. And I first bring that up. Even when I was writing them, I looked at it. It's wordy and. third.
I have a question. So, on lines 131, 134, the solicit applications in the fall semester should enough vacancies exist, etc. What is that? What is the pool size?
The size currently is 55 members.
How many?
55.
55.
On request, as you know, on request for chairs, the committee pass an amendment to get to 75 because the hearing board chairs identify that area of concern.
So they'd like to have 15 more than that. 20 more than that. So, and the pool that's coming in,
27.
So it's going to be inadequate in the fall.
Well, and that's, in essence, we had 2 years ago, we also had heard, we had actually, you had one blister had decided that the hearing board pool was a little bit on the small side. We considered increasing it. We actually went through and ranked applicants we eventually were going to use. This being the hearing board pool would be increased. At the time, we would do some unrelated. This is at the time that Garrett died or passed away. We had a Rollins win. As the administration was in the mind that code changes should be minimized because that would be the best left to be president. So that's they were set aside back again. That being said, that's also why we're not ranking in the stage of getting accepted because we did that once and ranking at the bottom. I heard that went to waste because we were told they didn't need it. We also notified people and they registered, by the way. And the language is all conditional, but still. Nature, but looking at the applications this year, speaking candidly, there were a number that were weaker than our applications we've seen in prior years, and that's also why we're moving to interview some clarification because we think there are some applications that are good, but we need more clarity on. So that being said, if we're going right now, the code is no guidance about what we still said applications. Thinking last night, I said, oh, this is saying how we solicit for spring. And in the spring, at that point, you just make an emergency appointment. But if it comes out in the fall that we have people left the university or something comes up and we're short, I didn't want to constrain the committee to be able to do it. For instance, if this is approved, we would have to have a special solicitation because we need to be going to completely create the seats. But that's why we're attempting to try and leave flexibility because right now we have complete flexibility, but
No. This was not a critical comment. It looks likely that it'll be invoked in the
fall. That's part of the reasons there.
It looks like a typo of the original.
Line 121. Is it?
The office of the assembly shall also.
Oh, provide it. I appreciate that. That's funny. I read that just as you said it, and I read over my mind filled in the gap. But thanks for catching that.
Exactly. I think
it's okay. To be clear, also, as I discussed it, and I discussed in the email on last Friday, this the draft language was with the current red line was given to the UA yesterday and put on their agenda so they can see it. We're still talking. We're still discussing it. But the interest of transparency also noting that they're frankly running at the end of the year. The UA saw it. They had no comments because the UA meeting yesterday. But it's nearly an hour over and we already had an extra meeting, but just wanted to so the UA has seen this.
So I know that you said that UA totally moved to get the key so that we can contact these people. And I'm wondering in a similar vein, what if the office of the assemblies was with the deadlines
from
the same position you were in last year, what can we do at that point? Is there anything we can do at that point?
Well, and actually, this to be fair, we did do something else. In terms of the way, when the code for the UHD full size,
yeah,
we tweaked the language, and I was very quick to make sure of that. The current language reads the office of WS roughly shall solicit applications, and the CDC shall review. New language reads, the CJC, in consultation and cooperation with the Office of Demographics, it shifts it because right now, and historically, CJC has really been in the driver's seat. I would sit down and tell them, here's how I want to run it,
yeah.
And they hand them logistics. unfortunately, that language has frankly led to the office always telling me, oh, the code is deleted, this is us, the CDC can't talk to us about it, which is counterproductive and has wasted a lot of time and effort, and also is not true for how we operate. So we amend that language to a certain point where the office is just truly not doing what we're informing them to do, where it's even an HR matter. That's because they're not following your university policy. And frankly, I don't think this is going to go deep off the bowl of their heads. It's something I very much think we're not to do.
Yeah.
And this is also why this language is very explicit. Actually, just one of the red lines even says, information may not be withheld by any entity. And again, my goal is to avoid ambiguity and ensure clarity. Because this is the third year that we've had to frankly fight over this. And I'm tired of it. Bless you. And also knowing that I won't be here forever, I can very easily see a chair of a committee who's not quite so willing to say, no, this is ours, ceding that authority either inadvertently or being told, oh, you don't have access to that. You do. But if they're not going to follow the rules, then we've got a larger problem. But that is a valid concern. I am aware of that. Give me ideas. More than happy to hear.
I mean, I just wonder, like, why do we have to keep doing this? Like, I think it pretty clearly says that what the, like, makeup of it is. And there's really no recourse for us to do because we have no meaningful alternative other than going through the office of the assembly. So I think changing the code is really good, and that's going to help. But I think someone who is empowered to actually do something needs to sit down and have a conversation with whoever is causing the holdup and really talk to them about it and let them know we're not just a bunch of random people trying to take authority that we don't have. This is the way things are going to be. So I think other than the code changes, I think what really needs to happen is there needs to be a conversation with everyone involved to get them all on the same page, because clearly we're not all on the same page. And I'm not sure that changing the code will make a difference, because the person who's doing this might not even read the code or might not necessarily interpret the code as it currently stands in the way that we're interpreting it, even though it would like clearly fall into the language of that. So I think someone who's not us needs to also tell the opposite of the assembly.
I agree 100%. I can say that there are discussions ongoing, because with respect, this is not the only concern we have with the office assembly. There are a number of others. So this is on the list, because again, it's even yesterday at the UA, I had to publicly ask this before knows what's going on. I don't like to do that.
I think we're getting a little bit off topic. We have a resolution. I don't think we should be talking about this whole thing.
It will be addressed on your correct rule is point one. I do both things. I have a comment on that. Yeah.
What is the UA procedure for amending the bylaws?
Introduced at one meeting and then has to move around at another meeting by majority.
So should we pass this there?
It's already been introduced.
Okay, so this is already on here.
It's precisely for that reason. Yesterday they saw the prior red line. They saw this was the version that was circulated last week. That's why they added more provision.
They had it in the question.
Yes. Oh, we discussed it for 30 seconds. But what did you
get that?
So here we are. Any other comments or questions? Okay, none. That brings us to update group. Yes. Where do you think? Very briefly, knowing that we're at time again, and I wanted to briefly note, in the packet you'll see, I thank you for sharing this, you'll see both the a copy of the 2012 sanctioning guidelines, which were prepared by the prior judicial administrator, how that office would go through to solicit, or as it seek sanctions, and then I've also included a copy of the sanctioning guide that's provided to, I believe, hearing boards. List the chairs when they're going through their sanctioning procedure. I know this is something the committee had talked about in terms of perhaps providing a guidance document to the code. It's played into our past amendments regarding how the hearing board procedures are drafted and controlled. They did all of how do we want to do with this. And noting that, as of now, I mean, these are back at the right look at the VA's office. And the old version, the 2012 version, that is the equivalent of a sanctioning guide, which is why it's going to be really put for. That means that even if we have a new JA and it has changed and doesn't modify and create a new document, I also wanted to make sure this is on the document for discussion. I don't want to end on time, but Michelle, I just saw your hand.
Yeah, can I just kind of give context if people want to read something? Yeah. So the 2012 document was something that was, as mentioned by my predecessor, one of them, I don't know where this kind of came from. It didn't align with my sanction philosophy. And so as with the new administration, there's change. I can explain in depth of why there's changes. The second document isn't a sanctioning, maybe the title, we didn't think about it. It's not really a sanctioning guide, it's the actual sanction. And so one of the challenges that we had last year is that my office actually had to appeal a case because a hearing board imposed like 100 hours of community service. And so, well, that's disproportionate to the code, and so we actually had to appeal to lower the sanction. We were also running into things where hearing boards, just because this isn't something they do every day, didn't put dates. They would do sanctions that would say something like the JA has the discretion to determine whether or not an apology is fruitful. Like, I can't, that's not my purview. And so we worked with the Office of the Judicial Codes Counselor to really say, and they used some feedback as saying, you know, this should only be to the chairs versus the board. We're like, well, that makes sense from a sanctioning philosophy. But we actually just wrote down every single sanction and the language that needs to be put in the decision. So the hearing board chairs get a forward copy of this along with the templates so that there's no need to appeal or they understand the sanctions are. If they are doing creative sanctioning, which we want them to do, just outlining that you have to decide what this looks like, who's implemented it. So another example in the past was they would say a directed study at the discretion of the JA. Well, that doesn't really provide any context because we don't sit in the deliberations. And so this really isn't a sanctioning guide, this is just also called a sanctions in the order.
So I have Kendall and then Richard.
You know, Kendall, you know about this.
I was going to say, I really like the version that Michelle has. I've never seen a 2012 version. I'm skimming through it. I'm horrified.
Well, you can have to know the pine tree got that for paramedic and stuff.
Yeah, there's just like a lot of stuff in here that's very problematic. So I like that it's Michelle's version isn't like mandating certain things. It's just giving them all the options of letting the hearing panel really have conversations to determine what's best. I don't think cookie cutter sanctions are appropriate. And then I also, Michelle's office, my office had a conversation about how the hearing chair should be the one with this document so it doesn't structure the conversation. But the document itself, JCC's approve of.
So when we met with the hearing board and they said that their rules, or the rules they worked with, were incoherent or hard to work with. And so this addresses that? No, I didn't think so. So
I can clarify that. Like after that.
Hmm?
I can clarify that. Like.
Yeah. Well, that was the question. So clarify.
Sorry, I didn't get dropped. In essence, the current hearing board procedures. I first saw them last year during the Bryant hearing. And looking through them at the time, myself and Bola were sitting in the, you recall it, the viewing room, and we were leaping through it, and frankly, we were both concerned. And afterwards, we looked at it. Also, I think that's why we tried to sit in the hearing board chairs. It took us nearly a year and a half to get them. We want to talk about it. And did you remember the meeting? They also agreed to adopt their hearing board procedure on the greatest, that frankly gave rise to a code limit that says that the CJC has. Community can go in and start trying to help them along and get them where they need to be. And the document should be seen by the CJC more regularly, considering it's really helping process operates. This, though, in terms of, we were talking also about providing more guidance to hearing boards. And part of that discussion was, okay, if we're going to assume and try and help the hearing boards with the procedures, that procedures might either A, be good to incorporate into the guidance document, or the hearing board procedures could form the basis of the guidance document itself. And therefore, considering that how sanctioning is operating, rough sanctioning is, I think, that we discussed in terms of how we want to look at, I wanted to provide this the committee copy of the old sanctioning guide, which really is the sanctioning guide, as well as the newer template. Again, the name is the thing, maybe if something's over. But we have to show that there is our document that exists. In my estimation, these are documents that the committee can see more frequently. Right now, the procedural aspect of the code is really one that we don't interact with enough, considering that's really how they can operate, in my experience, I should say. And this is more of a
process through which we would help the hearing board chairs get rules of procedure that they are comfortable with? And is it can we go to them, tell us what the problems are, and suggest changes? And then I guess it would go to you. No?
Yeah.
No, okay. So then it would just come to us, right? No? So it just stays with them.
So if
those procedures are outmoded, it's really, it's their responsibility to fix them. Is that right?
The current language of the bill is yes.
Okay.
The amendments be passed, no. The amendments be passed, give this UJC the authority to propose changes to their documents, pass them through. It also says if they change their documents, you must be notified and have an instance of veto authority.
Okay. No, right. I remember that part. But it's their job to suggest the changes, not ours.
We traditionally, yes. I think in practice, yes. Because the amendment would give us more control and allow us to ourselves propose changes. Would we ever do that? Not working with them? I doubt it. But the idea is that the procedures are similar in our mind to the code and that they should not be done unilaterally by. Because hearing board chairs are not appointed by the assembly or appointed by the president.
So the university administrative chair, Bill Sisney, has crafted or will be sending out an email to all the hearing board members asking for help in the procedures. I know he's been meeting with, or at least has had conversations with Andrea Mooney, who's the university review board chair, to start looking at pieces. But it's my understanding that his intention is to come and ask for this committee for help. I think he's just trying to create a little bit of a working group who are interested in it. And so, yeah, I think he's fully aware that the procedures are a hot mess. One of the things that's hard is that the administrative chair under the procedures has to be elected every year by the hearing board once it gets assembled. So until the term of this hearing board ends, Joel Sisney has authority to kind of be that parlance. But then come, usually the day after graduation is when terms end, there either has to be an electronic vote or some vote to either have an administrative chair election. Usually we, for the past 2 years, have during the trainings which occur during the first 2 weeks of school, say that now the administrative chair election will occur. It's usually done by the office of the assembly, so the office doesn't have any part of it. But I think it's his understanding that any person who's in the administrative chair, this is going to be their number one priority next year. So that change all the procedures.
Okay.
I have one question. So this 2012 document was not used at all, right? Okay, and the code of conduct section, you know, the one that's used, is that publicly available?
These are, it's not, I mean, it's publicly available, but it's not in the minutes or something like that.
Right, so you can, I think one of the reasons I was asking was because, you know, the working group meetings, one of the things we've been talking about is that it should like, make it clear to public attention are, of course, one can read the code, but this might be something that we want to have people consider in terms of other aspects of this that would be useful.
Yeah, I think one of the things that might help with this process a little bit is that when, if something goes to a hearing board, my office has the practices that we recommend to the hearing board the exact same thing we proposed in SCA. So the respondent have seen everything that's being proposed. You know, I understand your point about maybe doing some transparency with the specifics, but some of these are very administrative, and so I don't know in that regards how specific they need to be, but I think that's a future conversation.
No, but I meant just sort of like something to start with, and I think what we were going to be working with is that the public generally would want to have a sense of how sanctioning works as opposed to asking about what does one specific person have to impose on you.
Yeah, I think philosophically, and that's kind of this word of deviation, when I think of my kind of philosophy and the kind of philosophy that I think the office shares is that we think that there's an important piece of accountability, understanding the harm to self, to others, and the community. Philosophically, we really believe in the importance of a reflective piece, and then really some sort of specialized learning We do defer to kind of the experts that kind of help when they look at what sort of alcohol training is appropriate and has been tested in marijuana. And so we say, you know, alcohol level 1, 2, and 3 is that. So I think probably maybe explain that process a little bit.
I didn't have to do that. It brought up, actually, kind of brought up in the report that we actually brought up previously, was in terms of, it's in the situation here, report, your office moving to the default posture from oral warning to a written reprimand, and a concern, I mean, question that was brought, I received from a constituent was twofold. One, in terms of the rationale for it, what the functional distinction is, because you look at the template, it says that the record retention that is both on all are retained, in essence, borrowing a little off labor law, oral warnings are generally the reason the oral instead of written is that they're meant to be more informal. And I guess the question also would be is, in terms of that being your default posture, is that recorded in a document anywhere, or is that just, I mean, whereas the prior 2012 document is a list of what BJA's office will seek, is you're moving to a written reprimand, is that document that is an SOP or some other document?
Yeah, I think it's documented to the public, because I've spoken on this multiple times in forums. My philosophy behind it is, one, I think that there's accountability for actions, and if somebody's choosing to make those decisions, those are the consequences. The second one is when we look at a lot of, actually the majority, overwhelming majority of our cases, they tend to be things that come from criminal referrals, whether it's alcohol, underage, drug, public urination. And so because the police records are a separate agency of the university, somebody does a background check to do something for law school, they're going to get something that gets shown that they have a police incident log, that they came to our office and I couldn't verify that they're not in good standing. They have, acknowledging that we as a university took action and they're back in good standing with that. It seems a little bit disingenuous as a university to be unparalleled with that. And then I've said this before, and I don't know if I've been this open to our thing, but we have an extremely high standard of proof. So because we look more like a criminal justice system, reporting should probably mirror that. I've said publicly that if we were going to move to a preponderance of evidence, my default would be deferred.
If you look at the guideline template, how it's called, it appears that an oral warning is logged and recorded in a way that's similar. I mean, the language is identical for oral and written reprimand. So my question is, if you're doing a criminal background check through criminal police and it comes up, how would your office report a oral warning versus a written reprimand? Is there a distinction, or is it just say this is the actual content of that information being sent out?
Yeah, so there is. So when people do a background or conduct check for office, what we do is we first say their standing. So we say if they're all their sanctions have been completed, we say they're in good standing. If they have sanctions that haven't come yet to be due, we say they're restricted. Let's say that their papers due next week, there's a conduct check, they're restricted. We assume that they'll be submitting their thing. And if it's an oral warning, they're in good standing, no report. If it's somebody who has a written reprimand, it would be reportable to graduation that they're in good standing, was found responsible for underage violation, and that would be on them. And so the distinction is how long acknowledging that they have that. If there's disciplinary probation under policy 4.7, the default is that it's permanently reportable. When I came here, changed it to 6 years to mirror the faculty and staff reporting. Like, we do cover all three constituency classes, and it seems unfair to have one be longer than the other. And I don't have the discretion to change the faculty or staff. So that's why it's been kind of positive at 6 years. So it really just looks different as to that. But I can take that note as to really, and I think this came up with the hearing board chairs, where they really wanted some additional training about reportability versus the record. So I think that's where the distinction is.
Thank you. Looking at this just in a vacuum or basic code understanding, if they look very similar, and you know, if they are not, make sense. So the hearing panel trying to figure this out, they might look at it and not necessarily know exactly what the avenues are going to be.
Yeah,
no,
thank you.
Any other comments? I know they will. Now over time again. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, you're over time. Thank you very much for meeting with us.
Also, actually, I need also note, for those of you who are interested, part of the